First scripture reading is from Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him and who seek the face of the God of Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our second reading comes from one of the letters of Paul, or the Pauline authors, the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, from chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And think of this as kind of a future-oriented passage. Beginning with verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. This is the word of the Lord. A plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him. Are you the kind of person that likes to have a plan? You know, a plan A, a plan B, maybe a contingency plan. Plan A this morning was for Caroline to preach. We're already on plan B. But I'm hearing, and maybe you are too, a lot of people around us just finding it more difficult to plan right now. There's seemingly economic chaos, and some of us experiencing job layoffs, and then there's the up and down and off and on tariffs, and this feeling of uncertainty that we're hearing. And this seems especially the case among businesses, for sure, large and small. But for me, the older I get, the more I want to have a plan in place, at least a basic plan. You know, where will I live? What, you know, some basic structure, things that give us comfort and give us this feeling of security, or at least the illusion of security. My professor Andrew Purvis used to tell us that, well, we can have this lofty theology and all these great thoughts, but life is really lived out in the ordinary day-to-day for the most part. Picking up the kids from school, going to work, trying to organize your daily life, figuring out what's for dinner. When we look to the future, naturally we raise our expectations. We want some assurances and some comfort there too. You know, what exciting things will happen? What plans will I make? What things will take my carefully constructed plans and turn them inside out? See, for example, COVID-19. Now, you don't really need to be reminded of that, but I was thinking this morning, I came to serve an interim pastorate over at St. Mark in Bethesda, Maryland, in early 2020, and the Presbytery Committee on Ministry said, oh, this will be a fast-track interim. They'll have their new pastor in 12 to 14 months. It'll be great. 3 weeks later, COVID shut everything down, and we were no longer on the fast track. It's just a reminder that we learn our lessons over and over again about plans. Like the great Scottish poet Robert Burns wrote, "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang aft agley and leave us naught but grief and pain for promised joy." That's Scots language, where things go sideways sometimes. So whether you like to plan or not, these words from Ephesians hopefully give us some truth, and I really hope some comfort as well. Because these few lines tell us that all of history in this grand scheme has a purpose, a goal, a reason in God. We embrace that when things are going well. But when things go awry or go sideways, or seriously sideways, like maybe the Holocaust or this brutality happening to civilians in Ukraine or so many other things, we all ask, how is that a part of the grand scheme of history? And that's not easy to answer, for sure. And those hard questions about those things cause some of us to despair. Even some of the brightest thinkers succumb to this. Listen to these quotes that I've found from some of our great academics in the past. One of them says, "I can see only one emergency after another, as wave follows upon wave." And another said, "There is no secret, no plan in human history to be discovered." Or if you like Shakespeare, the famous line in that Scottish play talks about the day-to-day life of the world being a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So in the face of all these pessimistic views, yet we read these soaring words in Ephesians. Just what exactly God's plan is for the world. It's for us to be God's children in God's family. So what's obvious then is that, you know, a lot is going to remain a mystery for us, but one mystery is revealed, that Jesus Christ is the revealed will of God for us. So this writer, whether it was Paul or maybe one of his close protégés, gives us a glimpse of what you might call God's long-range plan. Many of us were in business or government or maybe even military positions, which time to time ask us to produce a long-range plan, keep that goal in sight, you know, despite the short-term obstacles that will come along. This might not be a perfect analogy to what these verses tell us, but it gets us on the right path. We're promised that God has a long-range plan in place since the foundation of the world, and even now being carried out. And it's this, it says in verse 10, a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So in this view, all of You know, all of history has been moving in this direction towards gathering up all people and all things into God. And this writer sees things moving in that direction. So naturally, a big part of what we do here in the church, a big part of the mission of the church is to work towards that unity, towards that gathering up all things in God, that sense of purpose and this great scheme describes, that with that kind of long-range goal as a guide. And there's even more to the plan. It also tells us that God's love for us is eternal. We are adopted into God's family as God's children, given full status as family members in the household of God. And God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. That's a very cosmic Christology, isn't it? Those are big thoughts. If that's too much for our brains to process, a friend of mine used to use an image to help us understand this, to describe this, to help us to relate to this. It's called the captain's cat. Any cat lover will relate to this. See, it's a sea captain. A sea captain has a cat that he dearly loves. And when he puts to sea, he brings him on board. And it's a long voyage, but the captain knows where he's going. The cat, meanwhile, has all the comforts he can possibly have. The captain loves him and feeds him and gives him soft pillows to sleep on. He allows the cat to freely roam the ship anywhere the cat wants to go. But yet the cat is not in control of the destination. However, the cat can make the ride pleasant or dangerous for himself and others, depending on what he does. So imagine that we're on a similar kind of ship as well, God's Spirit directing it. We're going into some unknown waters, but some of the anxiety of that is relieved, since we know that God is with us, that God cares for us, and we trust God to take us to a meaningful place. Yet in that, we're still given plenty of room to roam, free will to act as we choose. And Ephesians says this: use your freedom wisely. Use it to bring glory to God and to share God's love. Oh, it means short-term obstacles will definitely be there. Undoubtedly, things will go sideways and go awry. It will look like our short-term plans are ruined. But with the confidence of God's long-range plan, we can still be optimistic about what lies ahead. It's a kind of a confidence in the face of the unknown or in the face of any other adversity. To that end, do you know the story of the two wolf hunters? The two wolf hunters, Sam and Jed. It seems that wolves were threatening the local flocks, and so Sam and Jed were offered $5,000 per wolf if they could bring them in, dead or alive. And they hunted for 3 days, and they found absolutely nothing. And they were tired. They were sleeping in their campsite. And Sam woke up that next morning, and he saw that they were surrounded by a wolf pack that looked angry and not friendly at all. So naturally, Sam said, Jed, wake up. Wake up. We're going to be rich. Turning crises into opportunity, well, that's something we hear a lot of, but it's what we do. Since we have confidence in God's long-range plan. Sure, we have obstacles. Each of us can think of some challenge that we face going forward, even this week. Is that wolf at your door? Well, what could it mean to live for the praise and glory of God in this place, in this uncertain time? What can we accomplish to bring all things together in God? How can we work enthusiastically to bring about that great purpose of God that God has not only for each one of us, but also for this church and the body of Christ worldwide? Hear again this promise. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and His will. May it be so for all of us. Thanks be to God.